The Oregon foster care system is overloaded. There is such an overwhelming need for foster parents that some local organizations are advertising on popular job search websites. This is because there are more foster children than there are foster parents. Over the past year, more than 8,000 Oregon foster care children have endured constantly adapting to new living situations, and doing so during a pandemic. Last week, I spoke with Sue Keller, the program director of the neighborhood at Boys and Girls Aid, and the work her program is doing to support foster care youth learning online. Today, we spoke about the serious need for foster parents in the Portland metro area and Sue's own experience of becoming a foster parent. Here's more with my conversation with Sue Keller.
So my background is that I am not only a director of a foster care program, but I also am a parent of 8 children, 3 of whom I have adopted out of programs similar to the one that I am now working for. And so I have been a foster parent. I have been an adoptive parent. I have raised my children. And now I'm doing this for a living. And so I've worked for a couple agencies in the role of director, serving youth from infancy all the way to adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And I've landed at Boys and Girls Aid because I had a passion for working with teens in foster care, and very, very grateful to find that this nonprofit is very well run. They are very passionate about the work that they do. They are very considerate of the community as a whole, and I feel very, very well supported by them. So I'm really grateful to be a part of the organization and the work that they're doing.
If it's not too personal, do you mind sharing any of your experience as a foster parent and how that's impacted your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a foster parent early on in life. I had 2 kids of my own, and we decided to become foster parents, and it was straight through DHS, and we had some real bumps along the way, a lot of heartbreak. It's an overloaded system. It was difficult. You can't help but fall in love with the children. You become very attached. And if we're doing the work right, we help reunify families, right? If we're doing the work right, we're helping to return a youth to a safe environment that allows for long-term permanency. But that means that the foster parent who became very attached and really loved on that kid is left feeling a little bit of a hole in their heart and missing the child. So I will say I entered into it with the idea of adoption. We went through a couple situations where, you know, wonderfully the youth were able to be safely returned to their home, but my heart was just breaking. And so there was a period of time where I no longer fostered, and then some of my own family ended up, or I became aware that my family was in foster care. And so they were out of state, which is its own unique beast because you have to file this interstate compact and it's a little complex and you're applying for kinship care and DHS does a different kind of review, and there's some travel back and forth that happens. And long story short, after a year of trying to get a hold of my sibling group of 3 nephews out of multiple different homes in another state, I was finally able to bring them together in my home. And at that time, I had 3 children. And so I immediately went from 3 to 6 overnight. In fact, I will never forget, I had 1 in every grade at the high school, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Boy, was that a year. Boy, was that a year, as were the subsequent years. But the rights had been terminated of my family member, and it was a no-brainer that adoption was something that you know, was close to my heart and that this was family and rights had already been terminated. So it was unlikely that they were going to be pulled. And so obviously adoption was the right choice. And I adopted teens, actually teens and youth. They were a range of ages, but two of them were teenagers. And I hear people all the time be like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do teens. I am here to tell you, teens are fantastic. Teens have been in the system. Teens are smart. They know the difference between a good home and a bad home, and they are grateful. Now, that's not to say that they're not traumatized, and it's not to say that they haven't been through quite a bit, and you're going to have to really educate yourself and make sure that you're a person who's able to always give trauma-informed care. But these kids are smart. They know the system, and they know when they see something good, and they are full of gratitude. And they're just looking for someone to believe in them and help point them on the right path to independence. And that, for me personally, is the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life, is knowing that I was willing to take on a teen, that I loved them like they were my own.
Whether it's your own children, the ones whom you adopted, or stories that you know of, can you share any success stories and how that improves the life of those kids?
Oh my gosh, I have so many success stories. I'm just going to give you a brief little rundown of some recent ones that are so beautiful. Last year, I had two teenagers, both aging out of the system, becoming adults, and one story ends with the youth moving on to our transitional living program, which is another program in Boys and Girls Aid, into independent living, having his own apartment, but his foster parents stood by him. They are still family to him. He goes to their house for Thanksgiving, Christmas, weekends, calls them mom and dad, feels 100% supported by them, and is successfully doing his own thing and working and heading on a path to success out in the world. The other boy, same situation, except for he was going to age out of the system within a month, and his foster parents, who had been long-term Boys and Girls Aid supporters, decided that they were moving outside of our service area. They moved, but also petitioned DHS to take the youth with them a month before he turned 18, moved him into their home with no contract, no obligation to care for this youth, just simply love. Took him in, kept him, helped him find employment, helped him find an apartment, and he is now living in another town working in this industry. He is working in this industry serving people and giving back. I could not be more proud of either of these youth. What huge success stories. That's our dream, right? Of course, we always want to reunify. We always want to give families the resources they need to be the best they can be for their children. And we just want to be a temporary placement while they help get those skills. But if that can't happen, knowing that we have established relationships for these youth that are going to be long-term natural supports of people that love them and are providing a sense of permanency, that's the best we can ask for. That's incredible. And sometimes we lose the foster parent along the way, as in the case of the last youth I spoke about. And we're sad because we need foster parents so badly. But what a beautiful story to lose them for that reason, because they're so committed to a child.
That's so inspiring. You spoke about, you know, certain narratives, I think, that are out there and are, you know, common and possible common anxieties, such as, you know, fostering or adopting teens. And then, of course, a lot of conversations folks have or talk of or hear about is that obviously foster children and youth have experienced a lot of trauma. For folks who are looking into being foster parents and might be anxious about how to help kids, who are going through those issues, those struggles, what kind of services does Boys and Girls Aid provide to help youth be as successful as possible in terms of their trauma?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to start by saying I think the first step there is to recognize that every human has a trauma story. Every human, if they think, has experienced something that was very hard for them. You know, whether it be a move that was uncomfortable in their life or something really severe that happened that maybe they haven't processed, or they have. They've spent years in therapy. Who knows? But we all have our trauma story. We all came to this place with a different history. And I think you have to take a look at that and question, wow, what value does my history lend to the life of a child? What value can I let that history bring to this relationship? How can I help? How can I use my own experiences as a starting point for educating or an inspiring someone who's been through something similar? And that's the starting point, right? The starting point is to recognize that we all have a past, that we all have a story, and that each of our stories lends value to helping someone in need. And so I think once you've identified that, then you partner with an agency like Boys and Girls Aid that is completely committed to a trauma-informed care model, who's dedicated to working through collaborative problem solving with youth, which is a program that basically allows youth to be a part of the decision-making that takes place on their own behalf. It makes them a part of their story, right? Instead of adults saying, this is what I'm going to do, this is what you need to do, it's sitting down with the youth and saying, what do you want to do? What do you think looks best for you? How do we get there? Let's work together. Let's meet in the middle. And so it lends a voice to children. So Boys and Girls Aid is going to provide you with everything you need to know about a youth's history. They're going to provide you with the training that you need to recognize trauma, to be patient, to understand coping skills and how you can better prepare that youth for anything that comes up. They're going to train you on how to manage challenging behaviors, and they're going to teach you this entire model of collaborative problem solving with youth so that you can help the youth feel like they have buy-in on their own future. And then on top of all of that training, we're going to be by your side. So Boys and Girls Aid doesn't walk, they don't train you and walk away. Boys and Girls Aid trains you, and then you have 24/7 access to our support or our program staff if anything comes up that you find troubling. We have workers round the clock ready to help. And so there's always someone in your corner to assist. And so I think that's one thing that makes me most proud to work for Boys and Girls Aid, is that as you asked me in the beginning about all the multiple programs within our agency, there are so many that every time an issue arises, I can simply look within to find a resource to help me with any challenge that's presented. And if I cannot find it within, those people within, those programs within, have a variety of resources that they are familiar with outside of the organization that they can point me to. So I'm never without assistance, and my families are never without assistance. And I think families become scared that they're going to enter into a contract with DHS and they're going to sign on the dotted line and then that's it. And sometimes, because of the way that our system works, it feels that way. It really does. And so I think when you partner with an agency like Boys and Girls Aid, you are getting more security in knowing that you are going to have a resource there for you all the time. I would be so grateful to anyone that is interested in fostering a teen. Reach out to me directly. Reach out to our recruitment team. Reach out to anyone at our agency. And it doesn't just have to be teens. I'm just, you know, pushing teens because that's my program. There are so many wonderful levels of need and so many ways that you can help. The one thing that I would just want to say, and I will say this over and over again, is that if you cannot be a foster parent, that does not mean you cannot help a foster child. I really believe in community impact. I believe in community development and the way that we can just make our community more aware of the need in foster care and the ways that we can help, whether it be mentoring, whether it be respite care, whether it be, gifts, in-kind gifts or donations. Join the board, have a voice. There are just so many ways that you can lend your talents or your skills or your experience to this work. And I hope that an inability to provide a home doesn't stop you from wanting to get involved and doesn't stop you from wanting to, again, impact the life of a child.
This is Claire Rosciato with KBOO News in Depth.